Would you turn in your Bibles to the 12th chapter of Matthew, please? I have one more announcement that I did not make at the beginning of today's service, and I wanted to save this announcement for this morning because it goes right along with the message that I have, a message that the Lord laid on my heart before I even heard of this announcement. I held it back because I'd like to address this with that message. Some of you may recall a young family that attended this very church for several years. Lemuel and Jennifer Estolas and their little son Samuel. On Friday morning, I received a call from Jennifer. A call from Jennifer that Lem had been ill for some time. He was ill when he was here at the conference. Some of you may recall that knew them. That's the first we've seen of them in a while. They moved off to a town called Brentwood, which is over between Stockton and Antioch. As you know, Lem was an employee with the Lord. True sin and all the basis for sin is unbelief of God. Whosoever believeth in me shall be saved, is what our Lord says. If you take the basis of what we would call sin and dwindle it down, whittle all the crud that we can wrap around it, down to what its basis is, it's we do not believe God, we do not want to believe God. We don't want to believe His Word, we don't want to believe who He is, we don't want to believe what He's done. We'd rather think of ourselves a little more than what we are. We turn to our own understanding. When we believe and then act according to the flesh, we deny the truths of God. Everything we do or think, we do in sin if it's not for the glory of God. And I and all who knew Lem, know that he knew himself to be a sinner. I know that's what he thought of himself. I've had deep conversations with Lem. And he knew the sinner that he was before God, and he knew who the Savior was. And he knew that the only salvation that he had was hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why he loved to hear the gospel. This is why he wanted his son to hear the gospel preached. This is why he wanted to hear of Christ and him crucified. Lem knew he was a sinner. He loved to hear that Christ came to save sinners. As it is with all of God's people, our hearts burn to hear more about our substitute. We walk all day long in this body of death. We know the sin that's in us. Each and every one of us know what sin is in us. Our God knows it too. And the only hope that we have is hearing about this one who saved his people. This one who said, "It is finished," when the cross was done, when salvation was complete in him. All of God's people, our hearts burn to hear about our substitute, to know more about Jesus, to know more about God in the flesh, to know more about His love for all that His Father hath given Him. And I've said this so many times, and I'll continue to saying, oh, the wonder that God, His love for His people is, that He would give His only Son, that He would put His glory behind Him and walk this earth so that He would be made sin for you and I. So that you and I would be made righteous in Him. To know more about God in the flesh. To know more about His love for all that His Father has given Him. To know more of where He is right now. Sitting on His throne. Ruling all that is. That's hard to believe sometimes, especially when we look out into the world. Or when a dear brother can't take it anymore and he ends his own life. How is it, Lord? How is it that any of us fall into a sin? Our Lord is interceding right now on His throne. Right now, for all the sins that we've committed today, yesterday, and He'll be on that throne in 5 minutes, interceding for the sins that may go through my mind now, or right later. He's interceding right now because He loves His people. How can the world say that Christ died for everybody, yet some will still go to hell? What kind of love is that? The Christ of Scriptures loves His people perfectly. And not one sin will be charged to them. Every one of them were laid on Him. Period. End of story. It is finished. He's interceding on our behalf of His elect, calling us His own. He says, I bought this one with my precious blood. Hell shall not have him. So you see, the true question here is this. Has God forgiven all my sins? And thus saith the Lord. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, our Lord Jesus is speaking to the hearts of His people right now as we read this very scripture. Not with the audible voice, but through His word in this book that we're reading. Wherefore, Christ says to you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. There's only one sin that's unforgivable. Only one. We just read that, didn't we?
Yeah.
All other sin. Is that what it not said? All other sin? And our Savior tells us of that sin very clearly, of what it is. Now, do not dare. Do not dare. And if you do, you need to consider yourself and examine yourself and weigh and measure yourself whether you are in Christ. I do not in any way condone any sin. Any sin. But I'm in the flesh and I know we do it. I know what goes through the minds of God's people. I know what we can fall prey to. David wrote, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You and I may not have felt that yet.
Go ahead,
But I know one or two right here in this room who have. All sin. There is only one that's unforgivable. I do not excuse anyone that they may commit this or any other sin for that matter. We never encourage one to sin. Our Lord says, God forbid. God forbid. Walk as children of light, for we are no longer children of the darkness. And all that that I said along has brought me to the message for today. In last Sunday's message, we considered the subject children of light. And in doing so, our Savior instructed us to walk as children of light. You'll recall, once again, I brought before you that it's not my duty to tell you how to live. God will tell you in His Word on how to live. And we read in Ephesians 5:1, you don't need to turn there, I'll read it for you. Be ye therefore followers of God and dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. This is the Lord guiding us in what we should and what we shouldn't do. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers of them. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are in light. Ye are light in the world, in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, as we read these very verses last week, I pondered these instructions. I thought about it. And I could not help but feel that I had covered the point of grace, that I could have covered the point of grace a little deeper than what I did. I didn't dive into that grace as much as I'd want to. So in a way, today you're getting a continuation of last week's. You see, I desire to fulfill these instructions also. I want to walk like that as best I can. It literally bothers me when I don't. I remember a time when it didn't bother me at all. And when, in fact, it was quite fun. But it bothers me greatly now. I desire to fulfill these very instructions, but honestly, I come up short quite a bit. Would you look at the verse on the front of today's bulletin with me? Second Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. My title for today is, Who is Sufficient? Who is sufficient for these things? Not I. I've just told you a moment ago. those very instructions that our Lord spoke to, I fail at all the time. And I'm not going to go through and name any of it to you because it shames me. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? This is why the gospel was so wonderful to Lem and Jennifer. They get up every day to this very day. I don't know when they first started coming here. I believe it was just after I did, which was 20 years ago. Pastor Gene gave them the book of Don Fortner, a daily devotional. They have worn that book out. Jennifer assured me they get up, they even right up until the day Lem took his life, they would get up every day and read from that book. Looking into God's word, having it explained, having it expounded on what their day was. They loved to hear, and you and I know, Don Fortner doesn't do anything but preach Christ and Him crucified. They loved to hear the gospel. This is why all of God's people love to hear the gospel. This is why the gospel is so wonderful to me. I know that I cannot fulfill all that my Lord requires, for He requires pure holiness. Not just a little bit. Not just for a moment here, and then, you know, you're going to go over here for a bit and then come back to your holiness. There is no holiness in us at all. And our God requires perfect holiness to be in His presence. How can any of us? How can anyone? Well, here's the good news. God provided Himself a sacrifice. A spotless lamb. A substitute. A scapegoat. One who is as perfect as Himself. One who knew no sin. One who is as holy as God Himself. And this is the gospel, that there is one who is sufficient. Only one. Who is sufficient for such things? None of us. That's what we're here to praise and thank. And sing our praises to is the one who is sufficient. The one who sufficiently walked perfectly in our stead. When you see yourself walking in a little bit of a trail this way, God help us to get back on the right path. But when you veer off a little bit, there was one who walked that path perfectly for you. It's His sufficiency that we look into. It's His sufficiency that we place our hope on. This one who knew no sin. He is the one who is sufficient for things. And that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn to the first book of John, please. When Paul was troubled by a thorn in his side, of which many believed to be a possible sin, that beset him, so much so that he cried unto the Lord three times. I'll read that for you in 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul wrote, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Paul was had so many things being revealed to him so quickly. One day he was persecuting the church, and the next day he was seeking out God's lost sheep and telling them of the wonderful love that Christ has for His people. So many of those revelations that were coming against him, how would it not be the natural man not to be puffed up all of a sudden and think about how good things are for him? There was given unto me, he says, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to keep him humble. to make sure that Paul didn't start thinking too much of himself. Like maybe the Pope. For this thing, Paul goes on to say, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me, and he, the Lord, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Who is sufficient? God's grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, Paul goes on to write, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is the grace of our dear Savior. He is our sufficiency. We have no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence and hope is in Him and Him alone. It's in who He is. We know that that man called Jesus who walked this earth in the flesh is God, with the power of God to back Him. For He and the Father are one. That blood that went through His veins was the perfect blood, precious blood of God Almighty. That makes it effectual. That makes it effectual in every way. Everything that He had purposed to accomplish was accomplished perfectly in that blood.
Yes. Amen.
Our confidence is in what He had done. We know that when He said it is finished, it's done.
Yes.
There's nothing for us to contribute to it. We don't have anything we can contribute to it. It's all done in Him. Our confidence is where He is right now, making intercession for everything about His people. And that doesn't just mean saying, you know, okay, no, you can't. That one was mine. I paid for him. My blood was spilt for him. But it also means this. It means this is going to happen. Because down the road, I have one who's going to be born down there. And I want that person, because that one's mine too. There's our hope for our children. There's our hope for our loved ones. God still has children out there who need to hear the gospel preached. Do you ever pray for your unsaved loved ones? That's what I'm talking about. Our Lord still has His people to hear His gospel preached. And our confidence is in that, and that alone. Are you with me in 1 John? Would you join me in verse 3 if you would? Well, it would help if I turned over there with you. Verse 3 of chapter 1. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. In our Bible study this morning, we talked about this very thing. What is it that we would go out and share with those that we love? The most important thing in the world that we could share with anybody is Jesus came to save sinners, of which I am chief. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Who is sufficient? Our Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth his children from all sin. I don't believe a true child of God could ever say anything about the Holy Spirit that would not. I don't believe God would let him. He couldn't. He's promised to save them. They shall be saved. No empty seats. Every one for whom the Father giveth him shall come to him. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Every sin we'll ever commit has been laid upon him. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Sin not. Turn away from whatever it is. Whatever it is, it's turning your eye away from Christ. Call out, Lord, my God, my God. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Ain't that cool? I don't know about you folks, but that blesses me a lot. That blesses me because I fight with this sin in my flesh all day long. And we know that Paul did too, don't we? Who will deliver me from this body of death is what he says. The sufficient one. The only one who is sufficient. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.